Okay, Dan, do you not hear the music either?
No, I don't.
Are we sure it's not Wednesday? Because this normally happens on Wednesday. All right, well, I guess we're going to roll out without any music today. This, of course, is the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. Oh, I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So, if you get the opportunity, swing on over there, check out what went up yesterday, and you can keep track of what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link itself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Now, you know, Dan, I am realizing just more and more how much I hate the NFL Combine. You know, it's so weird that, you know, these guys scout players all year only to change their opinion about, you know, about them when they don't run fast enough, don't throw far enough, or don't jump high enough, when pretty much that has absolutely nothing to do with how they've played on the field. The other part I am just really sick of now is every year we get some jackass with an NFL team that during the interview segment ends up asking some player either some extremely derogatory or extremely racial or just extremely stupid questions. And sure enough, it happened again this year. Darius, I believe it's pronounced Juice, is a running back out of LSU that's going into the NFL draft this year. During his interview at the NFL Combine, and now he didn't let the cat out of the bag on who it was, and I actually wish he would have. During his interview with one of the teams, they asked him at some point in time if he likes men, and then later on, whether his mother sells herself. Dan, I don't believe these are appropriate combine questions. Do you, and what can the NFL do about this? Because I just get so tired of hearing about this crap.
I mean, if I were him, I would wait and then put that team on blast. And I mean, can you file some kind of lawsuit against him or a grievance if he doesn't get signed?
You know, I'm not sure. That would have to be something that would be looked into. But yeah, you wonder if there's, you know, I know the NFL did, you know, put in some rules about the questioning, but I don't know how much they actually related or go after it. So we'll see. I don't know. But yeah, and then the weirdest part is, I mean, you know, I know a lot of times, you know, the team's excuse is, well, you know, we want to do this to him because we want to see how he handles, you know, the pressure, you know, or we try to hit him with rapid fire questions out of the blue. I don't think I buy that, Dan. Are you buying this as a line of reasoning for this questioning?
No, I mean, it shouldn't have any, really any place.
So yeah, and I've heard everybody, you know, well, you know, they need to, you know, figure out which team said it, and you know, they need to go after this team. And I did like some of the ideas about possibly, you know, punishing this team by losing a draft pick. You know, the problem would be is, you know, with the NFL, you know, they would probably make it a seventh rounder, and it wouldn't be that big of an effect. So yeah, I just, you know, it just kind of gives me one more reason to hate the NFL. And, you know, the sad part is they had some really good, you know, media relations going here with this. I don't know if you saw the one-handed guy, I believe his first name is Shaquem Griffin. You know, but he actually originally wasn't even invited to the combine. But you know, he did finally get invited, and you know, he did the 20 reps on the bench press with the prosthetic arm. And then some jackass media member tried to kill it by saying the arm gave him extra leverage, and that's why he was able to do more. So it was like, yeah, hey, thanks for crapping on, you know, the parade there, you dope. You know, but he, you know, he was a really, you know, a really nice story coming out of this. And, you know, and then of course they got to follow it up with this stupidity, and it's, you know, it's literally like they get together in a room and go, well, hey, how big a jackasses can we make ourselves look today? Do you think that's how the NFL meetings go?
No, I don't think you can, you know, determine how big of one you could be when you are one. They just don't know it.
You know, and then, you know, to be fair, that, you know, the media is, you know, of course, ridiculously stupid as well. And while they didn't ask this question, I hate the fact that they always go back to the Dez Bryant interview as the jumping off point for this. Well, I don't know if you remember this one, but, you know, the Dez thing, it was just kind of a natural line of questioning, because the question they asked Dez was, what does your father do for a living? And he said, he's a pimp. And then they said, well, what does your mother do for a living? And he said, well, she works for my father. So, you know, and I know that guy, he was from the Dolphins, I believe, got in quite a bit of trouble, because obviously the follow-up question is, well, is your mother a prostitute? Because that's basically what I thought Dez was implying as well with the line of questioning. But, you know, but yeah, that's always where they go right away, and they forget to leave out, you know, they always manage to leave out the fact that the first question was, what does your father do for a living? And they want to jump right to that part where the guy says, well, is, you know, is she a prostitute? So, you know, and I get it. I mean, you know, we don't want the truth to get in the way of a good story, do we, Dan?
No, not at all.
Just what can we do, Dan? Can we just cancel the combine?
Well, you know, there's that kid out of UCLA who's supposed to be a rich boy that you know, is looked down upon because he's a rich boy, and you know, they prefer someone who's got more to fight for or more to lose, so to speak. And I wish I remembered who it was that was talking about it this morning. But he's like, the bustability factor comes in, you know, could he be or couldn't he be? And, you know, I just sat there and laughed to myself, because shouldn't you ask that for everybody? Isn't that kind of the obvious?
Yeah, you know, again, just, you know, another incredibly stupid point. Well, he's rich, so we don't think he's dedicated to his craft. You know, like I heard somebody say today that he has too many philanthropic interests that would distract him from football.
True.
And I was kind of like, well, wait, wouldn't that be a good thing? You know, does it get him away from football for a little bit? I mean, you know, does he have to eat, sleep at 24/7, 365 to be a great player? I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of guys with other interests that are great players, so.
Yeah, but
yeah,
you're only supposed to do that once you get in the league and the team tells you what to do.
It's just completely frustrating. It's like, really? It's like, this is the best you got. And I actually did see, you know, one of the mock drafts, they had this kid. The guy's name is Josh Rosen. He's the UCLA quarterback. You know, he was going in the top five originally in a lot of the mock drafts. I saw a couple today that have dropped him down to 15. And it's like, really, you really think a team is going to pass on a guy with the numbers he put up in college and what he's got on film because his father's a spinal surgeon and makes a whole lot of money And they didn't say what his mother does, but apparently she does quite well in monetarily as well. So, at her job. So it's like, yeah, okay, let's see a stupid team do this, you know. Yeah, I don't know. You know, again, just more reasons for me. You know, I mean, I think you and I both had some issues watching games last year. You know, and as of right now, they're not really giving me big reasons to jump back in. I mean, are they doing anything for you that you're excited about right now?
No, I mean, our local team sucks, so it's not really fun to watch, and it's pretty much the end of it for me.
Now that my Seahawks are apparently dismantling the championship team, you know, Michael Bennett got traded to yesterday. Now there's rumors that they're going to cut Richard Sherman here, you know, real soon, because, you know, you got to save that all important salary cap money, because, you know, that's how the game is played. I don't know. You know, the Rams look like they're miles ahead of them now with the moves they've made, and you know, the 49ers getting better. So, I don't know. I don't know what kind of year I'm in for there. And now that, you know, we no longer have, you know, the NFL ticket as part of our television package, I won't get to see their games. So that's kind of hurtful. You know, the only thing I did like was the fact that it cost Jerry Jones $2 million because he was stupid. So... You know, that's always fun. So yeah, and then I was joking with Dan a little bit before the podcast started. You know, everybody knows I've mentioned here multiple times that Schomburg, Stu, and I trade emails. You know, on a multiple emails on a daily basis. And Stu has a new concern with the Cubs right now, and that concern is the fact that they are winning too much in spring training. Dan, I'm unsure how you feel about this. Is this a difficult situation for you that they're winning games?
I mean, it's not like they're going out there trying to win. It's just spring training. Everyone just goes out there and plays.
I thought that was, you know, kind of humorous that. of all the concerns to have, this is the one thing that we're worried about here is the fact that they're winning. You know, like yesterday, I don't know if you saw. Did you see any of the game? It was on last night on WGN. They actually showed one of the games in the evening.
No, I totally.
Yeah, once the starting lineups were announced early, and it was basically the, I think. Only the top three guys in the batting order will be on the major league team when the season starts. So I didn't even bother to turn it on. I think it was Schwarber, Almora, and LaStella, or maybe I think Ian Hopps. So maybe the top four guys, and that was it. I wasn't going to bother sitting through a game to watch the guys who are going to minor league camp later on. If I want to watch them, I can just do it on, MILB TV or whatever, and you know, check it out that way when they get up and running. So yeah, I didn't mess with it, but they managed to win that game, and Stu was a little distraught because it looked like they were going to give it away. And I was like, dude, it's spring training, man. Get off the ledge. the season hasn't even started yet. You're going to kill yourself by the time the season gets going here. So, but yeah, that was one of the funnier things was the fact that they were winning games. Was the issue. So I was like, oh, no, here we go. Dan, we do have.
Well, no, I was going to say, just so you know, I didn't do the upgrade for $26 to include the MILB package in there. We just get.
Oh, damn it. That's okay. I can find it online. They always offer it. You know, there's always something on Twitter. You know, if you want to watch this, you know. So I always, pick those things up and watch a little bit of the games here and there. So, but that's okay. Now, we do have our drafts coming up here, Dan. What I think that we're just a couple weeks away from, getting our stuff going. you know, slowly but surely, you know, we gotta start watching these guys who are getting hurt. And you know, one of the things, and I believe we mentioned this the other day, the Cardinals had to shut down the guy who looks like he's going to be their closer, Luke Gregerson. He's dealing with a strained oblique. And you know, Dan, we've seen this injury take months for this to heal for guys. You know, Gregerson is 33. He's going to be 34 right after the season gets going. You know, this is a big time potential problem for the Cardinals, isn't it? If they were counting on him to do some closing,
especially since they let O go and he's up in Toronto.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you know, and I know they brought in some other guys who, you know, might be able to help out here and there, but I think Gregerson was the one with the majority of the closing experience. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, because you figure, I mean, even if it's say it takes a month to, you know, have him recover, well, we're already in the season then. You know, and then, you know, well, God, if it takes a little longer, how do they work that out? And I know, you know, they brought in Bud Norris was the name I couldn't think of there. You know, he did some closing for the Angels last year, but I know he's had some injury issues too. I don't know, you know, what the heck St. Louis is going to do. I know they, you know, like every other team, you hear them say, well, you know, we like the young core of guys we have in the bullpen. You know, but that closing role can be a tad tricky at times. So I don't know, Dan, do you think they need to maybe look into the Greg Holland thing? Cause you know, he's still hanging around out there as a free agent.
I can't believe he's still around. I definitely think that's something you should look into.
Yeah, and then, you know, kind of moving on the injury front, and this is something that will, you know, factor for you if you're in a deep league like Dan and I. Ahmed Rosario, the Mets shortstop, who probably will be a Rookie of the Year candidate, he's been dealing with what they describe as an ailing knee. They didn't really kind of point out where it was, but now he's also got tightness in his hamstring and groin. They don't think it's anything that's going to jeopardize opening day because obviously, you know, that's still about 3 weeks away. But, you know, when you're in the deeper leagues, you know, you got to kind of look into these things because while Rosario probably won't be a starter in our league, as big as our league is with 20 teams and as deep as it is, he's probably going to end up on somebody's bench. So you got to kind of look out for, you know, for those fun things. And then, Dan, you know, being that he's such a young guy, I mean, if he misses a week or two, do you worry that it puts him behind, you know, or do you think it'd be easy for him to just kind of catch up?
No, I think it'd be easy for him to catch up.
Well, you know, and then, of course, the other concern with the Mets pitching, you know, if you're going to take a Mets starter, you always got to worry that he's going to get hurt. It looks like, finally, Dan, Jacob DeGrom is going to make his first start on Sunday. It's iffy right now on if that gets him on track to make opening day, and the fact that when he finally does make his first regular season start, it'll probably be one of those deals where he only goes three or four innings because he'll be on an innings limit and a pitch count. You know, DeGrom is one of the better pitchers in baseball when he's healthy. How much do you think this affects your grading? You know, I mean, obviously he's not the Kershaw Scherzer type of guy, you know, Sale, but you know, he's probably right there in that second tier. You know, again, when he's healthy, you know, how do you kind of go, okay, well, I need to move him down, and how far do you move him down?
You know, I still, I'm about 8 away from fulfilling my 50 mock draft, so I got to go look in because I've picked him up in a couple leagues, but it's hard to judge comparatively to our league, seeing as I'm doing 10 and 12 team drafts, but we're 20. But I think in our leagues, you're still looking from 4 to 6 rounds. If he's available, I think you should go out and take him, especially pitching.
Yeah, because he was 15-10 last year with a 3.53 ERA. He did make 31 starts, so it looks like he missed a start here or there during the season. But he was a 200-inning guy, 201 and a third, which, is big in our league because obviously we have an innings limit to reach. So, that could be interesting there. But yeah, it's one of those things, and I'm sure, as we get closer and closer to opening day, we'll check back in on these guys and, all that other kind of fun stuff that's going on. But pitching wise, and I don't know if we talked about this or if I wrote about this. I don't remember what it was, but Drew Pomerantz has finally been cleared to restart his throwing program. Now remember, he had a big year for the Red Sox last year. He was 17-6 with a 3.32 ERA, made 30 starts, 173 and two-third innings. He's been dealing with what? Let me make sure I get it right here. A flexor strain in his left forearm. He's probably the three or maybe the four guy for the Red Sox, depending on how they want to juggle that order. But he's another guy who looks like he may miss his first start or maybe his first two starts in the regular season. And while he did have huge numbers last year, Dan, he's really not in the same category as DeGrom. Another guy, I mean, are you concerned that he's going to deal with this all year? Is that something we have to worry about with it being his throwing arm?
It could be a spring thing. They're down in Florida. Maybe the humidity is getting to them, but no, I don't think it should be all season.
Yeah, I don't know. And then, I was really disappointed to read this one, Dan. The Tigers decided to release Travis Wood.
Yeah, I saw that earlier.
For whatever reason, he's had just a ton of bad luck this off season. And they said here that he suffered a torn ACL while executing a rundown in his first start of spring training. So. He's back out there. I'm assuming there won't be a bunch of takers with a guy recovering from a an ACL, because he'll need surgery. He'll probably be out until well after the All-Star break. So I don't know. He's only 31. He comes back next year, right? Somebody gives him a shot in minor league camp.
Maybe as a left fielder.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was going to ask you. Does he convert? Does he become a left fielder? But yeah, we're not done seeing him, right? You don't think he's done and over with?
No, I think he'll be picked up by someone somewhere later in the season.
So yeah, that's just my concern. I don't want to see us lose lose Travis Wood because he's quite fun, and I wish, I always hope he ends up with a National League team just because I like to see him get the at bats. And then one more injury thing here, and I don't know if it'll affect much because I know they can always plug him back in at first base. But apparently, Matt Carpenter, the Cardinals' basically utility guy, he's dealing right now with right shoulder tendonitis. So they're not quite sure, if or how it's going to affect him, because I don't really think the Cardinals even know where they were planning on playing him. There was some talk he would play third. There was some talk he would play second. Of course, he's been their first baseman for the last couple of years. I don't know, Dan. Does tendonitis affect swinging the bat? Do you think it will affect him as a hitter?
Well, I mean, you have to grip the bat. So if he has pain in the wrist, or that's usually like the wrist forearm area, it could.
Yeah, I don't think I've had Matt Carpenter on my team in quite a few years now as a fantasy guy, so I haven't had too much to deal with there with him, but we'll have to see. You know, and then one of the other announcements I saw today that I really wanted to get your opinion on, I don't know if you saw this one. Aaron Judge announced that he's one and done in the All-Star, you know, game home run hitting contest. You know, he won it last year, but he won't be back to the crown, and he has no plans on doing it again. Are you disappointed by this, or how do you feel about this?
No, I mean, I think it's just opening up the opportunity for other guys to do it. And if he doesn't make the All-Star break or game, then he gets a weekend off.
You know, and you're not, are you believing the jinx, you know, that goes along with winning the home run derby?
I didn't know there was a jinx, but I mean, with Gary Sanchez and Giancarlo on the team, I don't see why, you know, this year should be Stanton representing the Yankees. And I mean, didn't Jonas win it twice? Was there a jinx for him?
Yeah, well, you know, what always happens is, you know, for whatever reason, the guy's production allegedly goes down. You know, and I think Judge actually only hit seven home runs from the All-Star break till the last month of the season, and then he finally got back on track and hit 15 in the last month of the season. So.
Yeah, but I mean, you have highs and lows in baseball, and you know, the other part of it is people were figuring him out finally.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that obviously it could have been a lot of that, but, you know, we don't want to look at that, Dan. We want to look at the fact that he won the home run derby and then had some issues. You know, see, again, you're ruining a good story with the truth. Why did you do that?
Yeah, well, you know, because my job isn't just to make up stuff so that I can keep my job.
Well, maybe it should. Oh.
It would be nice.
You know, and then
I really think, though, if I was writing every day getting paid for it, I can come up with better stuff than, you know, I wouldn't be a big coverage guy on the NFL, but I think I could come up with something better than, well, you know, I don't like this rich kid because there's the bustability factor and he could be a bust or he could not. Oh, really? Couldn't you say that about every single guy that's ever been drafted for any sport or women for that matter?
Yes. Yes. Well, now, you know, how about this, Dan? I mean, now we all know in the end, baseball is a business and, you know, it's just kind of how it goes yet, but the Houston Astros renewed two of their contracts on their players. They renewed the contract for Carlos Correa, and then they renewed Alex Bregman's contract. Now, we know Correa has been touted as one of the up-and-coming superstars of the game. I think he's going into his third year. And Bregman was really the breakout star of the playoffs and the World Series for the Astros. Probably should have been World Series MVP, but I think it ended up going to George Springer.
Yeah.
How about this for deals? How about this for deals, Dan? Carlos Correa was renewed at $1 million for next season. Alex Bregman is going to make $599,000 next season.
Well, isn't that in accordance with, you know, the CBA? And
yes.
What's their level, you know? You know, but that's why they'll
yeah,
end up in two more years getting, you know, $15, $20 million contract.
Yeah, you know, and the Astros are doing nothing wrong by doing this. You know, if you remember, I think we went through this, it was last year or 2 years ago when the Angels renewed Mike Trout for just an incredibly low number. And again, you know, the teams aren't doing anything wrong. They're literally just following the CBA. Now, Cora will be eligible for arbitration next season. Bregman's got to go till the end of 2019 to get there. And, you know, in the end, these guys will make their money. I just found it humorous because, you know, Cora, you look at his stats. You know, he made an All-Star team. He hit he or Correa, yeah. He made an all-star team, hit 315 with 24 homers and 84 RBIs. He's going to play for $1 million. Bregman, who I think was on your fantasy team, hit 284 with 19 homers and 71 RBIs. And like I mentioned, was just a beast in the playoffs. And he's going to play for just under $600,000.
Yep. And, so, you know, actually, and I remember getting Bregman on my team. Was actually, unfortunately, it didn't work out for me in the playoffs for fantasy, but I traded Justin Turner for, was it Robbie Ray and Alex Bregman? And my team took off, literally. I was out of the playoffs and went into the playoffs. But that, of course, was after Robbie Ray came back after getting hit in the head with a line drive. That was pretty nasty.
Man, how the hell did I let that trade go through? Jeez. Oh.
Well, you know, it was one of those things, though, where Bregman wasn't really taken off at the time. So it wasn't until, you know, I grabbed him and Robbie Ray, they were kind of under the radar. And I was looking for, when it came to pitching, I was really looking for, you know, a guy who I knew was starting every day. And that's what I needed, someone who was healthy. And, you know, the way it worked out was I offered one thing, you know, a 2-for-2, and I got a 1-for-2. And I was like, except, and, you know, no one voted against it. And I got my medal for successful trade.
Yeah, I vote against every, trade. Even the trade I make, I vote against just because, you know, I'm that guy. But, you know, yeah. So, well, you know, you did get, you know, two guys who really broke out last year. I don't think that trade would happen again this year.
No. Well, you know, and that's one of the things that I find that's coming into this draft. So, you know, and again, like I said, I've been doing mock drafts, but, you know, I might have to just continuously annoy the hell out of Yahoo, and they need to add, you know, 14, 16, 18, and 20, or just forget it, you know, do 10, 14, and 20, you know, this other, because it's fun to do these 12 team mock drafts, because you can go through almost literally every round and there's guys that, you know, our drafts aren't going to be there in the late rounds. And I mean, it's fun to do these drafts because you're still getting, you know, complete starters all the way through to the end. And, you know, it's exciting for me to say, like, oh, I get excited for the draft because I know there's going to be guys there. But I think even within our draft, you know, and this is more so to do with the snake draft, is I think even through 10, 11, 12 rounds, you're still going to find quality players. I just think the thin line is going to be the relief pitchers, but that always seems to be, you know, there isn't, you know, some of the names everyone knows, and then it's throughout the season, like, oh, this guy just took off, and who the hell is he? You know, but, you know, the very next year, a guy like John Axford, you draft early, and then he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, well, you know, I wonder – you know, do you think relief pitchers are the biggest drop ads in our league?
Oh yeah, they have to be. I mean, and if you kind of go traditional with the five man rotation, so to speak, but I think even in our league, you try to get at least six starters, but you know, the five and six starter might be, you know, guys that are the five and six on other teams that are, you're kind of picking up and dropping. But for me, a lot of the guys I'm dropping are the relief pitchers. I'm going in, you know, and I try to do that with the NBA. I try to go in and look, but I don't know why. I guess maybe I don't speak the game as much as I would like to. So I'm not really sure where I'm, even though you can look at the numbers and see, I'm like, my guys seem to be doing pretty good. But, you know, and I think what kills me too is the, and I know you could switch it, is the averages. Like okay, your average doesn't mean jack to me, because when you look at the averages, everyone's averaging pretty good, you know, but when you see the actual numbers like you do in baseball, you know, that's what I'm doing pretty much the entire season, is I'm not looking at, you know, season stats. I'm looking at the last 14 days, you know, the last 30 days, and I'm going, holy crap, you know, for some odd reason, so-and-so on the Twins or even the A's is pitching, you know, is in games. Like, he's been in every single game for the last 3 weeks, you know, maybe not every game, but at least 4 games a week. He's coming in and he's averaging, you know, getting innings a week, and he's getting a couple, if not saves, you know. With some of the relief guys, the save is kind of a bonus, but when you see holds, you're like, holy crap. Or even the strikeouts, you know, that's what I'm looking at. Even with some of those bottom line starting pitchers, you might see a guy you've never even heard of, but, you know, out of the blue, he's just striking guys the hell out. So you pick him up and it may work out for 2-3 weeks. And, you know, then he has his dip, you drop him right away. I mean, that was one of the things I was surprised about in our leagues last year. And no one was really looking at him, was Lucas Giolito. You know, he came over to the White Sox. I know he wasn't up the entire season, but when he came up in the summertime, he was just sitting there. And, I mean, he wasn't getting the wins. And I think sometimes with the categories, you know, you have to concede some of them. And you have to know who your pitchers are that are going to get you the wins. You know, if you draft a guy like Jeff Samardzija, and he is almost, I don't want to say equal yet with Giolito, but when you draft a guy like Jeff Samardzija, you've got to know that he's going to give you innings, he's going to give you strikeouts. A couple of the other things, you know, really don't matter, or, you know, depending on your league. I think in our leagues, you know, there's, I don't think walks really count, but he may not give you the wins. And that's kind of where you have to balance in trying to find a pitcher that's, you know, going with the theory of who do I think is going to be the better team and get the most wins. You know, let's just say the Cubs, and you put it on Yu Darvish, you're hoping that Yu Darvish is going to get at least 10 to 15 wins. So you try to balance it out that way. But, you know, those guys are the guys I'm not dropping and picking up, but you're able to find guys. And I was surprised to hell to find Lucas Giolito just sitting there. And I mean, this kid was getting 7 to 10 strikeouts a game. He wasn't giving you wins, sadly, but, you know, that's you really can't expect that at this moment from a White Sox team. And if you do get the wins, it's kind of an added bonus, you know. So I mean, there's so many, and I think that's why I get so much more involved with the baseball fantasy, is because I know this sport more than I know, you know, the other main three. And not to say that I know it any better than some of the guys in our fantasy leagues, because I don't know how old these guys are, how long they've been around, or how much they know about the game. But I know we do have at least 10, 15 guys who are up on it just like we are. And I mean, in a 20 team league, you've got to watch that waiver wire, and you've got to kind of know who's being hot right now. And you don't really have to watch the news or, you know, watch your Twitter, Facebook feeds to see who's doing well, because you're not always going to get that. You're going to get that from reviewing the stats in, you know, fantasy.
Yeah.
2 minute break time.
Somebody just honked. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, while Dan ducks out here, I saw an interesting thing. I kind of thought this was fun. How would you guys like to see Jake Arrieta in a Padres uniform? Yeah, that's apparently the new Jake Arrieta rumor now, is that the Padres have looked into possibly signing him. You know, you know, I'm not quite sure how to kind of make of this, but it was reported by, you know, John Heyman, and he actually says it's probably a long shot. But, you know, they thought about it, and I just thought it would be kind of humorous if, you know, Arrieta goes from a team that, you know, won a World Series when he was on it and then contended for the next one, to a team that is probably going to be in last place. So I don't know how you look at it. I guess if he wants his money, you know, that could be some place he could probably go get it. You know, they handed out a bunch of money to Eric Hosmer. I don't know if they would drop a $200 million deal on Arrieta, but maybe he could get closer to that Yu Darvish money that he was kind of interested in. Yeah, so, maybe it could, you know, could go that way. And I did see, I don't know who spoke with him, but I saw a quote from Scott Boras. The question he was asked were if there were deals imminent for guys like Jake Arrieta, Mike Moustakas, Greg Holland, and of course Cargo, who are all represented by him. And his response was interesting. It said, we're closer to deals than we were 2 weeks ago. Some of those things are only a phone call away. Now, again, you know, this is agent speak we're looking at here. So you just kind of wonder, you know, there were a lot of rumors about like the Nationals, Phillies, and Brewers all being in on Arrieta, but nothing ever materialized. I mean, it didn't. You know, like it looked like the Nationals were really on track to grab him and add him into that rotation. And then for whatever reason, it all fell apart. And then the reports are coming out that, well, they wanted to wait for his numbers to come down, you know, his contract, his dollar amount to come down before they really looked into it. So you got to wonder if, you know, they're still hanging tight to this, you know, goofy $200 million deal that he has to have, you know, and at this point, you know, if they are, man, he's not going to get it. You know, that's just not going to happen for him. You know, I don't think San Diego's coming up with that kind of money. You know, the Phillies only wanted to go 3 years. You know, the Nationals never, you know, there was never a concrete offer for them. And, you know, the Brewers aren't a team that are going to fork out that kind of money for, you know, for a pitcher or for anybody, really. They don't really have that kind of money being a smaller market team. So, you know, you wonder where, you know, where he sits or how much longer he sits. You know, and I know Lance Lynn, who's not a Scott Boras client, the Twins tried to, you know, I guess the way to do it would be lowball him. They offered him 2 years at $20 million. Which is actually kind of insulting for a pitcher like Lance Lynn. He's much better than that. No surprise there that he turned that down. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know, kind of getting to the point where, again, you know, I mean, we're 2 weeks away from baseball starting, and these guys aren't in camp. They're not with teams. You know, I know like the latest Cargo rumor was there a possibility that the Rockies might bring him back. I don't think I see that happening. I don't really think there's a spot with him for the Rockies anymore. You know, they need to find out if David, you know, if David Dahl can play every day. You know, they've got to find at bats for Ian Desmond, especially if they're going to play Ryan McMahon at first base. I don't think there's a, you know, a real home there anymore. You know, as obviously he was there for years, and you know, I mean, I think we'll always think of him as a Rocky, no matter where he ends up going. But, you know, you just wonder, you know, how many of the rumors are true and how many are just kind of, you know, maybe they're agent generated to try to get a little, because there hasn't been any Cargo news at all on the free agent market. So maybe Boras is just trying to get a little something going by saying, oh, yeah, there's a possibility he could go back to, you know, Colorado because, well, you know, isn't there a possibility he could go to any team in the league? So, yeah, I just kind of, I don't know if I, you know, I buy all the stuff. You know, we'll have to see. I think eventually, you know, these guys end up on teams somewhere down the road, even if the season has started. But I just don't know if, you know, now you got to kind of start to wonder, well, what kind of year do these starters have? I mean, you know, Arrieta, Cobb, Lynn, they've missed a chunk of spring training. You know, and for a guy like Greg Holland, it's not so bad because, you know, he's a closer. He can pick up pretty quickly there. But I really wonder about, you know, the other guys. I mean, especially starters. I mean, you know, is it going to be one of these things where until the All-Star break they're going five innings? You know, and then you got to hope the team's bullpen hangs on. So, yeah, I don't know how excited I would be right now if one of those guys managed to sign. And, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, great. Hey, thanks. Nice of you to stop by. How does this help me or how does this work for me? But, you know, eventually we're going to have to deal with it, so we'll know. And I know Schomburg Stu even told me, Dana, it was nice enough to send the Google sheet out for us to put our picks in. And he said that he was going to wait and see where some of these some of the other free agents ended up before he plugged all his picks in. So, you know, that's kind of where we are.
Well, that's why I didn't know why he wanted it out so fast, because, I mean, I wasn't going to do it until probably another 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, you know, it's there. If somebody decides to jump on and, you know, fill it out, you know, that would be,
yeah,
you know, that would be interesting. So, but yeah, you know, Dan, you know, I'm always looking to see, you know, take in everybody else's opinion, see what they kind of think. And, you know, I believe we're in agreement where you and I think the Tigers are probably going to have a down year. But, you know, fantasy-wise, it doesn't mean you can't strike gold with some of their players. And I read an article earlier today about three Detroit Tigers that are going to break out this season. And I wanted to kind of get your opinion on them, because we saw one a little bit last year. But they're starting off with Nicholas Castellanos. I don't know why this year is going to be his breakout when he hit 272 with 26 bombs last year and 101 RBIs and even added 10 triples. And 36 doubles. So I don't know what his breakout year is going to look like if last year wasn't it. But he's moving to the outfield. He plays every day regardless. you know, he'll be a dual position guy, Dan, so that'll make me happy, because he was a third baseman last year. So I don't know. You like him? Is that, you know, can he break out after a year like that? Is he really considered a breakout guy?
I mean, I know the recognized name, but I don't know. You would say breakout. Definitely might be a guy. That would be later.
Yeah, you know what I mean. He's 25. He'll be 26 here. You know, next month. You know, he's been a regular with the Tigers for, this will be his fifth season as a regular. Last year he posted highs, no surprise, in triples with 10. But doubles, triples, homers, and RBIs. You know, he's a career 267 hitter, but he's always been a double-digit homer guy. So, yeah, I mean, while, you know, I think he could be a, you know, a nice, solid addition to your team. And, of course, again, I'll say it again, I love the guys who play multiple positions. I don't know if breakout is where I would categorize him. So,
no, and you've got to wonder too, I'm assuming, I don't know, you know, we haven't really looked at the teams in depth yet, or I don't know if we have time to do that this season. But I mean, they also have Jamar Candelaria. So how does he fit into their, you know, this season?
I'm getting to him. He's the third guy on this list. So, you know, I'll be right there. That's part of the reason Castellanos moved to the outfield last year. But the second guy on their list here, Dan, they're going with Dixon Machado, who looks like he's going to get a full-time job at second base now that Ian Kinsler has moved on. He did play 73 games last year, but he only has a career 105 career major league games. 259 last year, just one homer, 11 RBIs. You know, I'm a little concerned here, Dan, because, I mean, what's the breakout level for this guy? I mean, he's not a power guy. He's not an average guy. The most homers he's ever hit in the minors was 6. You know, his big average number was 286. I get that in our league he'll be a multiple position guy, you know, second, short, and third. But even at that point, I don't even know if there's enough there to intrigue me to want him to be hanging around on my bench. It, you know, is there enough there for you?
Not really. He's another breakout star?
Yeah, he was their second pick for the breakout for the Tigers. You know, and then they wrapped it up. You mentioned him before. Jamar Candelario was their third pick. Now, you know, he came up with the Cubs last year. Obviously, he started the season there, and man, it just didn't work out. He hit a 152, One homer and three RBIs. You know, they traded him to Detroit. Was that the Alex Avila deal?
Avila. Yeah. Oh, and don't forget, don't forget the super, you know, the dominant force in the pen, Justin Wilson.
He was part of that deal as well. Well, when Candelaria got to the Tigers, he hit much better. 330, two home runs, 13 RBIs. Now, again, it's small sample size, 27 games in Detroit, just 11 with the Cubs. He has, you know, 43 career major league games. But there's a little better history here. You know, he has reached double digits in home runs five different times in the minors. You know, he's got some solid career average numbers. You know, Dan, when I kind of think of a breakout guy, this is kind of the guy I'm looking for. I mean, he really has an opportunity to be considered as a rookie of the year candidate in the American League, doesn't he?
Yeah, and that's why when you look at him now, coming from our perspective or the Cubs' perspective, he was kind of a waste of a pick for them. You knew that's one of the reasons they went after him, but obviously there wasn't a spot for him on the Cubs team because, you know, even if as he developed, you know, say he took a year or two longer, he still didn't have a spot on the team, and putting Chris Bryant in the outfield still doesn't make sense. And I still don't understand what Bryant's height has to do with him playing third base, but that's a whole other topic. But when you think about the trade and what the Cubs got in return, it was kind of a blown pick for them.
Yeah, well, you know, let's give Justin Wilson a chance to see if he works out. You know, maybe things turn around. But oddly, I found an article with early candidates for American League Rookie of the Year, and he didn't even make the list. He didn't even make the other to watch list.
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that he's on a team that's probably considered for this season to just maybe not even go out there and play?
No, what I actually think it is as I look here, the article was written by Jonathan Mayo, who basically spends his life rating prospects, rating baseball prospects. Yeah. And as I go through his list here, Dan, he has one, two, three, four, five candidates for American League Rookie of the Year. And one of them he had to take off his list because it was the Mariners pitcher who blew out his arm. But in their organizations, Dan, they're either the number one or number two prospect. In the National League, four of the guys are the team's number one prospect, and the other one is the team's number three prospect. So looking at this article, he didn't even consider guys like Candelario who have a little bit of major league experience coming into this season. He went strictly with the prospects he likes and the guys he thinks are going to be, you know, involved here. So, yeah, it's basically a throwaway article because he didn't do thorough research. He just grabbed prospects.
No, and he does technically do the thorough research because he's one of the guys who puts them in that position. So he just picked the top guys. He's just picking the guys that he helped put in that position, which, you know, in seasons past when we first started doing this, his research was part of, you know, what we looked at, and all the guys that I would go after, because I was going with, you know, with, I think it's he and two other guys that kind of pretty much make up MLB's pipeline or whatever they call it. None of the guys started. None of the guys played in the major leagues. The guys, the top guys, the top rated for each team. But, you know, we can go back to the Orioles with Dylan Bundy. You remember I had that kid pegged for number five, and you know, he didn't even touch the mound for Baltimore that year. Maybe he did in September. I don't remember, but you know, there was no chance for him. I mean, I got lucky with picking Will Myers, but that's because I strayed away from, you know, their logic, so to speak. And it, you know, and the other thing, you know, like you mentioned, to do all the research. I mean, that's his job. He, along with another guy or two. But how do you have the time or to even, you know, actually physically look at all these kids? What are there, like five, you know, you do the top 100, that's enough work to begin with. But we're looking at 500, 1,000 kids in the young men and, you know, the minor league system. So, you know, you're rating them all. It's kind of rough. And, you know, a lot of their stuff I know is just coming from the scouting reports that the, you know, the team scouts have written.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, basically after, you know, kind of skimming through the articles, we were talking about it here. It's almost like he just kind of wanted to verify his picks. You know, these are guys I ranked highly and here you go. So, you know, that, and, you know, obviously he's a lot better at his job than like I would be. So, I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, nothing wrong with his research or, you know, where he ranks these guys, but I would be shocked if, you know, the majority of them end up on the major league roster to even start the year, or if they're even here by the All-Star break. Cause he just doesn't, you know, doesn't have a lot of guys that are gonna hang around. I think I made the mistake you made. God, what was it? You know, I had Orlando Arcia as a pick 2 years ago. And I think he finally came up to the majors in September. He was a September call-up. So, yeah, I pretty much got nothing out of that pick. But, you know,
well,
I was just
know,
thinking,
even,
I was like you. I was.
Well, even go back to when, you know, Theo kind of came into the Cubs system. They had, was it Dwayne Underwood and Paul Blackburn? I believe those are the young guys' names. They were in the top 10. For Cubs pitching, you know, Cubs prospects to begin with. And I think if you just went pitching prospects, they were ranked, you know, in the 1 to 5. And we've never seen either one pitch in the majors. I think Underwood may still be in their system. I think Blackburn was shipped to possibly Seattle with, you know, in the Mike Montgomery deal. I could be wrong on that. But, you know, these are guys I kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, put a bookmark next to just kind of, you know, go in and check once in a while to see if they're coming up. And, you know, he and the other guys, they had him rated up there and we've never seen them.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's always kind of odd when, you know, you'll see, you know, a guy's rating on a team. Aspect. So on and so forth, and then you just never see the guy. You know, where did he go? What happened to him? How did this work out? You know, and then of course the next year he just disappears off their list, and they act like he never existed because they don't want to say they were wrong. But yeah, it's just kind of humorous.
Well, and it's, you know, and it's not even all about saying you're wrong, but, you know, just kind of admitting, you know, not, I don't even say taking responsibility, but just kind of sticking with your thoughts. Going, well, I thought he was going to be, but, you know, it didn't work out.
Hey, Dan, at least if you could work to end the show today, how about that? So, all right, that means Dan and I are taking off, but hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to end the week for you. You know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what goes on over there. Follow the link to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well if you'd like. As always, big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want at TuneIn.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.